Weeks ago, I made an anonymous tip to an ICE office about a restaurant I had applied to that rejected my application. 3 days later, there was a raid on that restaurant and 12 of their employees were deported. I did this because I really wanted to work at that restaurant, but they were full staffed, so I figured what better way to like get an opening in than to have half their staff deported. So that's what I did. When I reapplied, I got hired, and I've been working there a few days, but now I'm worried that they're going to find out that I was the one who called and had half of their staff deported. For anyone who's been in a similar situation, was there some way you were able to soften the blow ahead of time, or kind of like get them used to the idea that maybe like an employee here got everyone deported? Who knows? I'm just seeking advice because I do like a lot of my coworkers, and I don't want them to hate me or think I'm a bad person or something.
I don't know if that man, excuse me, I don't know if that man's video was just a troll or if it was a very, very real video that he actually did that thing. I don't care enough to look into it because I find it absolutely hilarious that if that is in fact what he did, well, good on him for the love of God. That's absolutely amazing. I don't know about you guys. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Speak the Truth Podcast. Got a great episode coming up for you today. Looks like the Patriots are declaring victory over inside of Portland, Oregon. The Antifa camp ended up getting tore down. Now, it didn't last for very long. They took the camp. They moved a bunch of stuff to the other side of the street. And that prompted Portland officials to go in and just close off the entire block, bring in more cleaning trucks to the tune of God only knows how many tens of thousands of dollars, and pick up all of Antifa's trash. And after that, guess what? They had a pretty weak showing. But following that, it looks like we actually had some Portland officials get targeted. There was an arson attack that took place last night over inside of Portland. We're going to get into that and a whole lot more. We're also going to be taking a look over at Dearborn, Michigan, California, and what the heck Gavin Newsom is up to. And we might even talk about Mamdani a little bit. Now, with all of that being said, let's go ahead and start getting into what's actually taking place over there, because this is, in my opinion, the root of this terror attack that ended up going down. All right, so here is Antifa's little barbecue and drug party that they were having over this weekend, and you're about to see what happened to it following.
Tell us to get on the sidewalk.
We have to open up this sidewalk. This sidewalk cannot be blocked.
Can we get like 10 seconds, dude?
Yeah, of course.
10, 9, 8, 7. You said 10 seconds, right?
You guys see that, right? Like the entire sidewalk was getting closed off. They ended up putting a giant fire down in the middle of the street. What they're doing with their bottle of pills hanging out in the open, God only knows. Cops actually showed up. We were watching this go down live on Saturday night. Cops showed up and told them they had to move the crap. Now that, while it seems silly, that is, believe it or not, a pretty huge victory, because Portland police hasn't done a dang thing about this encampment literally the entire time. Let's go ahead and finish this video out.
We're going to get them to open up the sidewalk. Okay?
She said she wanted 10 seconds, so now I'm counting
down. Oh, what's
the
smell?
Are you
Okay,
can we get
people
here?
Three.
We're not getting antagonized people. Police are here. We're going to get this sidewalk open, all right?
Okay, we're trying. We have to check.
Hey, I'm getting people to stop harassing you, all right?
Yeah,
so you
please
can do it.
Thank you. Can you block them from us, please?
I'm right here.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Excuse me.
Where is Andy? Where's Bowie?
They're gone.
Andy left.
Oh, Battlefield boys. There's going to be many more, my friend.
We have to open up this sidewalk. This sidewalk cannot be blocked.
Can we get like 10 seconds?
Yeah, of course.
10, 9, 8, 7.
Yep, we're all retards because we ended up wanting to walk down a sidewalk and you guys just took the whole place over, set up a homeless camp, and you guys are about to see how all of that went down here in just a little bit. This is the aftermath following everything getting taken out. This is the following day. This is what the streets actually look like. A couple smash pumpkins, no big deal. Now, you guys can see up over here on the street as this video continues to roll that there was still plenty of trash that was left out there. And what they actually did was left all of their stuff. Some of it was actually covered in tarps, but they opened up the sidewalk. Look at this massive barbecue. That's like a, what, $500, $600 barbecue at least is sitting out there. You got tables, you got stacks of water, you got all different sorts of freaking party supplies. No kidding. They had an entire thing that was set up all the way through there. Look at all this garbage. that was actually out there. This was Portland actually opening up the sidewalk. And then what they decided to do was they would come back in and try to reestablish the camp. You can see how they just took this private property fence, threw a bunch of the crap underneath the tarp. There's a helmet just sitting out in the open, just hanging out for anybody. Big wood pallet. Why do they have pallets? Well, because they're palletizing material and dragging it on in there and then burning it for firewood. Like it was over inside of Gaza. They really think they can do whatever they want with no consequences. Well, you're actually about to see the difference there. And then here you have more of their trash that's just kind of like stacked up. And you can see all the crap that's just kind of like spread out from there. And you get to where like the little MAGA camp was set up, which was like right there over on the public access. And what do you know? It's perfectly clean. There's nothing over there whatsoever. This is, again, the following day. Let me get this sucker up for you guys so you guys can see what's going on. I want to try to paint this picture for you pretty clear in your mind what actually went down.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. It's noon. Get up. Time to wake up. So they moved out the tent. It seems like there's a person sleeping here. They put their little fireplace spot here. So before yesterday, the Portland police told them that they are no longer allowed to block the street. And it felt like the wall, the Berlin Wall, came down for America yesterday. It was so patriotic. It felt like the 4th of July. That now this street is open, but now you will see it looks like the trash has doubled or it has spread out because now the other sidewalk is full of trash, just trash. It's trash. And here they have another canopy up. Looks like they're a part of some type of organization. They're already out here protesting. Hopefully that canopy will come down because if not, surely people will be living in it. Good morning.
So that is kind of the direction in which it went until this ended up happening. They ended up showing up with tons of trucks. Look at this. This video is going to come from Nick. This is just a real quick one that shows you that, you know, same day they ended up then showing up and blocking off the street. And what's really interesting here is you see state police that are out there. So it actually looks like the governor has finally got involved and started making things happen. But the governor doesn't like any of this. I know that much. So this is, again, not the first time we've seen this. We saw this happen just a couple weeks ago.
I'm going to run you out of my city, Nick. Nick, I'm going to run you out of my city. You better get the fuck out of my city, Nick.
Now, when I looked into this, last week, you're talking between $6,000 to $20,000, roughly, every single time they bring these trucks out to clean up Antifa's crap. So I just want to make that perfectly clear. Now we've got another one. So we're easily pushing north of $200,000 since June that the city has spent going over and picking up Antifa's trash off the street. All the way down to sweeping that sucker, man. That is some of the most ridiculous crap that I've ever seen, that they actually do that. Now, how do you think Antifa felt about it?
Sorry, I didn't hear.
Oh, and when I say Antifa, what you're actually about to see is a homeless man arguing with the cops after they allowed him to go and grab his life off of the sidewalk before it got thrown away.
I'm just curious on what's going on right here. Is it quick response? Is it quick response or
response?
Okay. And, are they going to be able to rebuild right here or?
No idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So that's question number one. Are they going to be able to rebuild right here? Why does he have to ask that? Because every single time they've done this since June, they've been allowed to rebuild. But you're about to get another answer here in just a second. That's what that cop says. No idea if they're going to be allowed to rebuild. Wait until the conversation with the homeless guy starts.
Okay.
Crime and stuff is
going to be. Okay, so it's going to be on lockdown? The spot's kind of going to be on lockdown? Okay, sweet.
If you come back and try and make a camp again, we will not be living here. You understand me?
Yeah, I do.
Right? The people who are camping here have been incredibly disrespectful to the space and its residents, and we're tired of it. I understand, like, maybe this is not completely directed at you, but your camp is right next to it. So this is not your camp anymore. Okay?
I don't know if you guys heard what we just told him. He said, this is not your camp anymore. So now we have it coming, at least from this officer's mouth, saying that this is not your camp anymore, i.e. they're not going to be allowed to go back and do it. I just bumped the volume up for you guys, so you should be able to hear it a little bit better, but that is that's maxed out.
Besides, you can't hear again, we will not give you this courtesy. Do you guys understand? I don't want to ruin your life. I don't want to make this work on you. But like I said, I cannot reiterate it enough. The people at this camp have been incredibly disrespectful to the space.
The people of this camp have been incredibly disrespectful to the space.
And the residents living here.
And the residents over here.
We're all tired of it.
We're all tired of it. He said, I'm not saying you personally, but your camp is attached to their camp. And then the homeless man says,
It's literally touching. Your stuff is touching their stuff.
And I was also here protesting.
Then he says, I was just out here protesting. Imagine that. Battlefield Boys says the crazy part of all of this is they fail to realize they are using textbook fascism tactics all the while claiming to be anti-fascist. I've been saying that the whole time. It's been driving me nuts.
And so then it is direct statues.
But I wasn't doing anything.
Okay. And that's what I'm saying. I'm being really cool with you.
And a lot of people.
And we did not have to give you this courtesy so you can get your stuff. I want that to sink in, okay? Because next time, we will not be giving you this courtesy.
And there we have police taking a much harder stance against them, saying, next time, you will not be given this courtesy. They've been given this courtesy every single time since June. No Control 556 says it's for show. Portland knows they're about to give up due to weather. This gives them a chance to say, see, we did something. No, I think this actually has to do with the National Guard going in. I think Portland, now that Trump has the ability to send in the National Guard, is trying to make it appear as if they're going to take it over. The problem is there needs to be a complete systematic change within the city. Without that systematic change, it doesn't matter. I would not be surprised if the National Guard ends up going in there anyways. Now, listen to what this protester says to the cop after he says, you will not be afforded that opportunity again.
I can guarantee you that.
So what is the process for an emergency statement?
Because there's been a lot of crime
in
this
process camp. For an emergency statement?
I don't have to tell you. And honestly, I don't care to tell you.
And the next time that I see you and do that, yep. I'm not going to be so gentle with you.
Okay, neither.
He says, next, the protester says, next time that I see you and you do that, I'm not going to be so gentle with you. So there he is making like terroristic threats towards a law enforcement officer for doing his job. Cop does absolutely nothing about it and just lets it go down. Let's hear what some of the residents actually have to say about the camp being taken down. So lady you're about to listen to has made several different statements over the past because the protesters, the Antifa nut jobs, will try to tell you that they personally do not want, how do I want to say this? They're tired of it, but they're sick of it, and they haven't been speaking out because they're subject to attacks.
God, how do you feel about this?
Listen, redemption.
Four, yes, right.
4.5 months, we the people have not been able to walk down the sidewalk, nor have we been able to walk around the corner without threats, violence, and violence.
And you actually live here?
I live here.
In this building?
We have endured 4.5 months of hell at the hands of
Antifa. Excuse me.
This is
sidewalk.
God, how do you feel about this?
Redemption.
Yes.
Redemption. They're happy. Redemption. Yes. And I do, believe it or not, have volume boosters in there. I do. I have my gain boosted up by over 20 decibels. So everybody calm down. These are amateur videos. And you have to understand, in amateur videos, you get amateur audio, but it is the best way that we can see what's going on out there. All right. Timbo Slice coming in. He says, what are your thoughts on the U-Haul truck incident? Also, how do you feel about the threats about robbing and stuff after the EBT shutdown on November 1st? After the EBT shutdown, yeah, you're going to end up having a lot of people inside the country just doing that, particularly in Democrat-ran cities like Los Angeles, all right, where you end up having like the theft number pushed so dang high and the cops aren't going to respond and do anything about it. So yeah, I do think there's going to be an increase in theft. I've also seen people say that, oh, you want to shut off our EBT? Fine, we're going to go into Walmart. We're just going to raid Walmart and do whatever the hell we want. I do think that that is going to happen. And personally, I think that elected officials on both sides of the House, all right, the right and the left, want to see that happen because it gives both of them ammo. It gives the Democrats ammo to sit there and scream and say, you know what? You know what? This is what happens. This is because of the Republicans. The Republicans did this. And it gives the right to ammo to sit there and go, you see what's happening? The Democrat cities are allowing this madness to continue and they don't want to feed you and they would rather you break the law. Like it's just going to be this stupidity back and forth between the political parties. That's my personal take on it. That's what I think. And that's why I refuse to identify with a particular political party, because I think they're both stupid. As far as the U-Haul incident, I got to do a little bit more deep diving into that particular truck incident. I mean, I'll dig into it as deep and as far as I can go, but right now, not a whole heck of a lot of information on it.
Chandler, do you want to give a comment this is, about dismantling of...
Excuse me. This is Chandler, and for those of you that don't know, he is the gentleman that is allowing these Antifa terrorists to stay inside of the building, all right, like right down a block and a half away from where the protest is taking place. So many of these Antifa terrorists have ran into his house in order to evade law enforcement, and law enforcement basically refuses to go in there 99.9% of the time to do anything about it. So after all their little violent attacks, this is where they run to. And so he is viewed as kind of like the little local ringleader, if you will. And this is after the encampment got tore down, people went down to ask him questions.
The camp today?
Wait, I got you. The funny thing is...
You don't like the camp? Really? Okay, unexpected. Like,
we are organized, kind of unified.
Can I take a shit? It smells like everybody else has.
A lot of the protesters out here, we fucking don't like each other. Right?
Really?
We are out here because we are united against the commandant. We aren't friends.
Yep.
He says, out of the protesters that are out here, we don't even like each other. We're united up against the common enemy. He says he doesn't like the camp. He says he doesn't go for it. He says he doesn't care. But here's the dang problem. Arson investigation underway after car fire outside of the city councilor's home. Published October 26, 2025. An arson investigation is underway after a car caught fire at the home of a city councilor, Candace Aveos. On Sunday, October 26 at 2:40 a.m., so this is yesterday morning, early hours after the Antifa camp ends up getting ripped down, Portland Fire and Rescue ended up responding to her residence. And I want you to take a look. Let me see. Blow this photo up nice and big. They're reporting this simply as a car fire when you see this out on social media, but I want you to take a look. All right, the original car that they ended up catching fire, it looks like it ended up catching fire to the overhang that was on there. And if you look in the background of this photo, it makes it all the way over to that council person's house. Now, when people are trying to claim that this is not a domestic terror organization, I have news for you. Are police going to be able to sit here and say that this is exactly what happened? Probably not. But what did we see happen when Tommy went to jail for assaulting one of the Antifa nut jobs? They targeted his vehicle. So do we have like a modus operandi that's taking place amongst Antifa in targeting people's vehicles? Sure do. Now, they're too dumb, probably. Do I think it was their intention to catch the house on fire? No. Do I think they're too dumb to understand how hot car fires burn, that it caught the freaking car sitting right next to it on fire and then worked its way up over to the building, charred and burnt the side of that house? Yep. Does it matter at that point? No. It's an apartment? No. I believe that's a house. Pretty sure that's a house that they ended up going after and targeting there. But I digress and we can go back. All right, let me see if I can figure out how to get our butts zoomed out of this thing. I don't know why it's so, it's not even allowing me to do it. Now you're going to make me do this, you son of a biscuit. There we go. All right, so the cause of the fire remains undetermined, but it's considered suspicious in nature. No kidding. You think that's a bit suspicious? Portland Fire Investigations Unit is investigating the case. If anyone has information, they're encouraged to call a tip line where likely nothing will be done about it. Portland Fire Investigations Unit compromises five investigators with Portland Fire and Rescue, who are sworn law enforcement officers, and a detective with the PPB. Collaboration leverages blah, 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 blah. Look at that. Look at this. This is not a joke. Like, it not only burnt the vehicle, it ended up setting the little, like, overhead cover on fire, and also it looks like it just charred the entire side of that building. This is not a joke. This is a serious issue, and this is exactly why those city council members, the mayor, the governor, the frickin' Portland police chief, all of them are so worried about enforcing the law over inside Portland. They have allowed these domestic terrorists to take over their city. That's what they did. They allowed the domestic terrorists to take over their city, and it's getting out of frickin' control. And when I say it's getting out of control, I mean it's out of control. This is a video by David Medina, who ended up finding more documents around Portland of ICE agents. I believe he said he collected 50 documents that are doxing ICE agents that are now being put up around the city. So look what happened to the counselor's house after the Antifa camp ends up getting tore down. Now look at what's happening here.
There are about 15 to 20 flyers that me and my team recovered from Portland. And I can't show you the front of this because it has ICE agents' name, face, pictures, and address of where they live. And then on the bottom, it says, no peace for ICE, chinga la migra.
What do you think they mean by that? Why do you think they're doxing them? Why do you think they're putting that out there? Do you think they're doing it because they want people to be nice to them, that send them Christmas gifts? No. They want them to go light their cars on fire and burn their dang house to the ground and kill their family.
This is why the federal troops are coming in. This is why the National Guard is coming in. This is what they won't tell you on the media. ICE agents are being doxxed left and right in Portland. Their families are being threatened. Has their address right on here. Like I said, we can't show you this. But ladies and gentlemen, this is appalling. And this here are about 15 to 20.
Yeah, Ice Cube or Ice T, right? Because they just want to go firebomb tour buses and stuff. But don't let anybody fool you, man. Do not let anybody try to fool you. This is their intent. This is their goal, is domestic terrorism. Make no mistake about it. Using violence, intimidation, coercion, or control in order to push a political or ideological agenda, that is exactly what they are doing here in the United States of America. Yeah, not to mention, you have the $50,000 bounty. Thanks, sewing mistakes. Not to mention, they have the $50,000 bounty on their head from the freaking cartels. So, yeah, this is a problem. This is directly a problem. The cartels really, really hope, because Trump has started to crack down on them, particularly coming out of Venezuela, bombing and taking out their ships. The cartels are starting to crack down, and they want this instability here in the United States of America. So we have multiple players here that are looking at all of this crap, because the more attention that is being focused on this, the less attention is being focused overseas. And so you're going to have the cartels partaking in this. It wouldn't surprise me if you had Russian money flowing in there, Chinese money flowing in there, all of that crap, just in order to create this instability over here inside of the United States. The Democrats and the Republicans aren't helping any of this crap, like, by bickering like a bunch of school kids over inside of Congress. Ask them why it took weeks for me to get attention from the VA just to get my medication refilled the other day. I've been trying for weeks in order to get my medication refilled. I went into the VA. I did all sorts of crap. I've been calling their line. I called the Veterans Crisis line the other day because I got told to call them to try to get my medication problems resolved. And guess what they did? They actually had a recording that was playing saying, if you're in danger of suicide, hang up and dial 911. And then, like, boop, phone cuts out. Veteran Crisis Line wasn't working. I called it so many times, probably like 5 or 6 times. Finally, somebody answered the phone, and then they were more worried about me and whether or not I was suicidal versus just listening to the issues that I had. It was one of the most ridiculous things I ever had. But why are we focusing so much on some of these problems when we can't even get our dang veterans taken care of correctly in this country? Drives me insane. And you want to know what's fueling all the rage and all that crap that's going on over inside the city of Portland and Chicago and New York and LA and San Francisco, San Diego, all of these places? What's fueling all of this violence? Stupid videos like this, where people don't understand what's actually taking place and what's going down. This video ended up coming out of Oregon. Again, this one comes out of Portland. This is ICE agents effecting an arrest. And you have some massive Hispanic chick screaming at the top of her lungs in Spanish for help.
Get out of our city.
Ayúdenme. Ayuda. Ayúdenme, por favor.
At the light.
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. I see you guys in the comment section. That is not the standard first message. The standard first message for them saying hang up and dial 911, sure. But the phone cutting off and hanging up on me probably 4 or 5 times in a row that I called after receiving that message is garbage. I let that message play out, and then the system actually cut off on me. I didn't hang up the phone. I sat and listened. So let me make that perfectly clear. The Veterans Crisis line was just cutting out. It would tell you to hang up and dial 911 if you felt like you were suicidal, and then it cut out. That happened over and over and over again.
Turn left onto Northeast MLK Jr. Boulevard.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
Okay,
you're in the middle of the street. You want us me to back up?
Stop fighting.
What are you doing? You don't understand what she's saying. She's saying, help me.
Oh.
Back up. Get back. Get back. On the curb. Stay back. Stay back.
Okay.
That lady screaming at the top of her lungs as if she doesn't know what's going on or why it's happening is probably one of the most frustrating things that I've seen in a long time. Another guy screaming at the top of, like, the dude being arrested. I can't breathe. Where did all of that air come from for you to be able to scream?
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And again, this is supposedly some sort of provocative crap because this man is being arrested probably for being an illegal alien. I read the badge as that one officer first walked up and told him to get back. Now, all the vests say police on them, but the one agent's badge particularly said ICE. These are federal officers affecting an arrest, and it's ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. So they're likely taking an illegal immigrant right off the dang streets.
Solo necesito aire. Aire, aire, you know, boss?
You should all be ashamed of yourselves.
Yes, you should be ashamed of yourselves for arresting an illegal immigrant. You should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves for arresting an illegal immigrant. One of the most ridiculous things I think I've heard in a long time. We're going to talk about this lady here towards the end of the show. I'm going to get that up out of the way. Now, where are all these issues coming from? Well, they're stemming because of ridiculous governors like Gavin Newsom here.
And I was just on the line because the DOJ is being sent out to California to monitor our election. I have an election, November Prop 50, a statewide election. They have no business, no jurisdiction.
They have no business. They have no jurisdiction. Well, that would be correct unless you were conducting illegal elections, which we're about to dive into and look at. Fox McCloud coming in, he says, where is this defiance when their countries are being controlled by communist dictators and cartels? They're not. They simply flee and run to the United States where they can do and say whatever they want with zero to little repercussions until lately when all of a sudden they end up getting arrested. Now, Proposition 50 is something that's going to actually change things altogether over inside California. It's going to allow them to redistrict. Currently, the way the law works over inside California is it allows a council, like an elected council, this is how I understand it, like some type of an elected civilian council that ends up drawing the districts. But they don't like that because it's not working out good for them. So they want to take the power away from the people, give it to the government officials so that they could redraw the lines and stay in power. Now, this wouldn't be such a big deal about him arguing about elected officials coming over and checking them out until I heard about this. And I want you guys to hear this law enforcement officer has to say about how people can actually register to vote over inside of the state of California. And then I'm going to actually show you what he's saying is not a lie.
The way the voting system is structured, we see quite a few flaws.
You're able to register even if and cast a vote if you don't live in the country, as evident of his brother in Pakistan. And I think we have some evidence of two or three other people out of the country that voted. Is that correct?
Yeah, approximately two or three other people out of the country, as well as people residing outside of the district.
The online voter registration system, it seems to be an honor system. Anybody can put information in there to register to vote. All you have to do is click a box and say that you're not lying, and then you'll get an email from the Secretary of State or something in the mail saying thank you for registering to vote, and there you are. Once you're on the voter rolls, anytime an election comes around, guess what? You get mailed a ballot, right? You get mailed something to vote. So we found that a little bit problematic. The way the voting system is...
Yep, he's not lying. They literally mail out ballots to every single person in California that is registered. I kid you not. I had to go over here and check by it anyways. Every active registered voter in California will be mailed a ballot for the November 4th, 2025 statewide special election. You can. Here's your ways to vote. Now, this is where it's going to start getting a little bit creepy. Return the ballot by mail. Must be postmarked on or before November 4th. Return the ballot in person to the electoral office, or you could vote early in person or vote at the polls on election day. So what is to stopping all of these people from registering with an address on under different names and having multiple ballots sent to their homes and then also showing up on election day and voting, therefore like inflating the vote with more registered voters? And I was very curious about this because I had to go in and double check to see. Like, how is it that we can register and how can we check? And I went over and I checked their actual voter registration site. And it's actually pretty freaking disturbing. So let's go back over their website and click on register to vote. Here you have, if you wish to register to vote in a language other than English, please select your language below. Here you got Vietnamese, Thai, Tagalog, Korean. I don't even know what Khmer is, Japanese, Hindi, Chinese, and of course, everybody's favorite, Espanol. Hold on now, because we're going to get there. Ironically, the first phrase of a real Spanish teacher makes you learn is ayayam, me, Roban. Me están robando, slightly more correct, but people will understand a present tense. I have no idea what you're saying. I do not speak that language. Now, let's go over and check out their register to vote. And you go and you click on register to vote now. And as you can see here, you can just simply click, I am a citizen and resident in the state of California. Then it asks you to continue to fill this out. Yep, I'm older than 18. You can fill out all of your information and you continue to go down this form. As you continue to go down this form, it's going to ask you certain questions. I do not have a California driver's license. I do not have a social security card. You can even go so far as to say that you don't even have like an address. And when you don't have an address, guess what it tells you to do? Then it tells you, okay, well, you don't have an address. So what's your nearest cross street? Are they just dropping off X amount of ballots at these different cross streets that these people are like putting out there and saying? Why the heck are they mailing out a ballot for every single person when they open up? It is wide open for voter fraud in California. It's not a joke. It's not something that Matt just dreamed up in his own mind. It's a huge freaking problem. It's a massive problem over inside of California. I want to put something up here. Voter ID only, right? And that's why they're concerned about everybody going out. Now, I asked this question on Saturday night on a random live stream that I did to cover Portland, and this is going to be, what city would you like me to go to next? Question mark. I'm going to be taking a trip. I have NYC, I have LA, and Chicago, but the big one that I'm going to focus on that I would like to go to is the last one that I ended up putting on that poll. And I want you guys to go over there and vote over what city you guys would like me to go to next. Here is the Dearborn City Council making excuses about the call to prayer violating local law and state law.
We have to go by first. The police is checking the decibel level. But I know what you're saying. Regardless of the decibel level, there's not supposed to be exterior speakers. Right. And that's what we have to look into.
So you can just look at the building and see them.
I know. You asked us last time and we requested that because we asked if there was any permits and there was no permits of record for those installations. So we have to find out. People sometimes take into their own hand of doing something. and we have to then, you know, react to it. So that's what you're bringing forward to us, and we will definitely look into it.
So when I come in 2 weeks, you'll tell me the same thing.
Ms. Unger, I think that's extremely unfair.
This has been 2 years.
Ms. Unright, this is extremely unfair, and she flat out tells her it has been going on for 2 years. And what's she talking about going on for 2 years? The same issue that we have over in Portland, which is noise pollution and noise problems. Call to prayer starting at 5 a.m. every single morning over inside of Dearborn. Every single morning, 5 times a day, blasted from the speakers. It's been going on for 2 years. And what's this man say?
It's a record for those installations. So we have to find out. People sometimes take into their own hand of doing something. And we have to then, you know, react to it. So that's what you're bringing forward to us. And we will definitely look into it.
Yeah, they've got to look into it. Now, who did he say was going to look into it? The police are going to look into it. Why is it a big deal that the police now have to look into this over inside of Dearborn? Is there an issue inside of the Dearborn Police Department? Do they maybe have some sort of motivation not to correctly enforce the law? Do you think that the law is actually being equally enforced over inside of Dearborn, just like it was equally enforced inside Portland? I wonder if there's an issue with the local police looking into this.
When I joined the department, Dearborn's Arab American population was nearly 50%, yet less than 3% of our police. It's now a department that reflects and embraces the community it serves, with 45% of our officers being Arab American. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
45% of our officers being Arab Americans. Alhamdulillah. Do we think that the Dearborn police themselves, who are 45-50% Muslim, Arab, might be the reason why all this is going on. Now, as I sit here and I roll through this, I just want to bring this up. What city would you like me to go to next? Dearborn got 56% of the votes. Chicago, which I spelt wrong, got 18%. NYC, 16%, and LA, 10% of the vote. So definitely looks like you guys want me to go hit up Dearborn and actually show you what's going on the ground over inside Dearborn. Amazing. Let's do that. Let's go figure out what's going on the ground over inside of Dearborn. And yeah, this police department is the one that's taking 2 years to investigate whether or not the noise ordinance is being broken inside of the city. 2 years. 2 years. Not supposed to have external speakers, guarantee you, even though I haven't even looked in the law, because it's pretty much the same across the United States. Certain decibel level that can't be admitted past certain times or before certain times. Garen, flipping to you, it's being broke. Now, maybe I will happen to go find a hotel directly next door to one of these mosques and call and file a complaint and see exactly what the Dearborn police have to say at 5 a.m. or whenever this loud noise starts to get admitted. Take a Jew with me. Oh, dude, I'm going to do one better. Don't you even worry about it. Believe me, this is actually something, believe it or not, I had a feeling that you guys would be asking me to go out there. Now, I have much better plans for Dearborn than you would think. And wait until you see what ends up coming out of this. It's not going to be something I'm going to be able to live stream. Some of it, I'm going to be able to go out there and I'm going to be able to live stream what's going on. Other part of it is going to end up being an investigation video. And you guys are going to see the results of that investigation released in a video following. And believe me, if what goes down, what I think is going to go down, it should set your hair on fire and it should light a fire underneath every American's butt to go over there and take a look at what's happening in Dearborn. Because just like what's taking place over inside of, just like what's taking place across the United States of America, in cities like Portland and so on and so forth, we're going to have all sorts of issues if we just allow Dearborn to continue on the way it's continuing on. Now, there was an issue that ended up being made pretty dang mainstream, and I thought I had it pulled up, but I guess I don't. So let me grab it, about a response that I want to say it was the mayor of Dearborn. I guess I forgot to put it in the stack. They ended up putting up a sign for a domestic terrorist over inside of the city. And I'm going to, well, he's actually, I wouldn't even call him a domestic terrorist. He's more or less, how do I want to say this? He is a member of the media, but he openly supports Hezbollah and Hamas. And this pastor, this guy that's right up on your screen right here, ended up getting criticized by the mayor for telling him that if you put up this city street sign, if you end up naming the street or dedicating a street to this particular journalist, that you are essentially welcoming in Hezbollah and Hamas and supporting them openly. For that, the mayor ends up coming out and telling this guy that he's no longer welcome in the city and that he is Islamophobic.
I mean, Hezbollah, bombed the embassy in Beirut, and including many Americans. So I just feel that's quite inappropriate.
You are an Islamophobe. And although you live here, I want you to know as mayor, you are not welcome here. And the day you move out of the city will be the day that I launch a parade celebrating the fact that you moved out of the city.
Calling him an Islamophobe because of that. Now, I happened to go over and look up some of the statements that this particular journalist had made. Just did a really quick search over on ChatGPT asking about this particular guy. The guy's name is Osama Siblani or Siblani. I have no idea. S-I-B-L-A-N-I. Osama Siblani. Right. In February of 2024, he wrote an article. And it is reported that Siblani said, Mr. Bush believes Hezbollah, Hamas, and other Palestinian factions are terrorists. We believe they are freedom fighters. Freedom fighters. September 2025, reports cite Siblani stating he saluted Hassan Nasrallah. For those of you guys that don't know, Nasrallah is the old leader of Hezbollah that got killed by an Israeli airstrike last year over inside of Beirut. Nasrallah was the leader of Hezbollah. 200,000 fighter strong terrorist organization. Recognized as a foreign terror organization by the United States of America, it is the largest non-state terror organization, or it was until Israel started bombing the crap out of them and went to war with them last year. Well, Hezbollah technically went up to their border and they've been at war for a while, but yeah, it is what it is. He's also quoted at a rally as saying, this is my favorite, we are Arabs who are going to lift Palestinians all the way to victory. Whether we are in Michigan and whether we are in Jenin, believe me, everyone should fight within his means. They will fight with stones. Others will fight with guns. Others will fight with planes, drones, and rockets. What do you think he's referencing when he says others will fight with planes right after he says everyone should fight within his means? As a direct reference to 9/11. In my opinion, that is a direct reference to 9/11. This man was absolutely correct in stating you are supporting a freaking foreign terror organization. You are welcoming Hamas. You are welcoming Hezbollah. You are literally showing the world your butt by putting this sign up, and we don't want it here. And in return, what the mayor, the elected official inside that city says is that, what, you're no longer welcome here and you're Islamophobic? He didn't say anything about it being Islamophobic. He said the man supported terrorism, and he most certainly does. When you support Hassan Nasrallah, when you talk about using planes as weapons and fighting within your means, when you talk about all of that crap and you call Hamas freedom fighters, you are 1,000% supporting terrorism. And by saying he's no longer welcome in this city, that means that that city supports terrorism. James's 797. Are you taking Tommy to Michigan? That would be epic. No, I'm not taking Tommy to Michigan. Love Tommy to death, but he's not coming to Michigan. He would be way too obvious, and I've got other plans for Michigan other than standing with a phone and shouting in people's faces. I've got some actual stuff that you guys are going to want to see come out of that. This is the city, though. This is Dearborn, Michigan. This is the problem here in the United States of America, and this is why we can't let these things go answered any longer, because there is actual people over there. Now, when he says that they're freedom fighters, let's take a look at what that freedom fighting actually looks like. These are the people that he called freedom fighters on October 7th. This man is not even Israeli. He's African.
لا باتش طلعت يا شباب
What do you think's taking place right there? That's what that man called freedom fighting. That's what that mayor just stood there defending. This is them fighting for their freedom, according to the mayor. This is them fighting for their freedom, according to the journalists. This is what is taking place in the United States of America while everybody's paying attention to their SNAP and EBT benefits because the government's got so many people dependent on them, it's not even funny. And this is why we need to take care of this issue. Portland is one tiny issue and why it's being widely celebrated. Everybody in this country knows that Dearborn's a problem and we all ignored it and we all just stayed hands off. We're like, you know what? We're not even going to bother going there and looking at what's taking place in Dearborn. False. We are going to take a look at what's happening in Dearborn and they're going to have their feet held to the coals just as much as Portland did. My confusion with Dearborn, Michigan is that they do appear to be fiscally responsible. No evidence of looting beyond maybe preferential hiring of government employees. Rod Rimmick says, we are the victims as always. No, and here's the problem. Like, you might not have financial crimes that are going to end up taking them down, but what you're going to have is massive and gross civil rights violations that are taking place inside of that city. When you have unequal enforcement of the law, all right, and you have a system that is built to protect a particular class, all of that same stuff that everybody complains about here, saying that the Republican Party and all of this other crap. No. I don't even like the Republican Party. I don't even like the Democrat Party. I am particularly going in as an American that's ticked off because people's constitutional rights are being violated. And you have elected officials inside of the United States of America, inside of Dearborn, that quite literally appear to be defending terrorists. Patrick Loudon says Hamas also stated they only attacked IDF members on 10/7. Definitely not a resistance group. They didn't attack just IDF members. That they didn't do. Nope, they attacked a very wide variety of people on October 7th. And it wasn't just Hamas, it was also Palestinian people. I am tired of this crap in this country. I am over it. This stuff is going to be brought to light. Immigrants, illegal immigrants inside of this country are being defended by city officials. Maybe even city officials up over inside of places like Chicago. Maybe their mayor is actually defending them.
Well, the real Chicagoans that I talk to, that I communicate with, mostly black and brown, actually, tell me that you don't seem to know the difference between illegal aliens and real Chicago citizens. They feel that you are siding with the illegal aliens over them in their communities. And okay. Sadly,
William, let's get to the question.
Let's get to the question. The real question is simply this. I don't know how to make it any more direct. An illegal alien from Nicaragua grabbed a woman on the north side last week.
Is a question?
Bashed her head into the sidewalk, knocked her unconscious, and raped her. If that had been your wife, Stacy.
Okay. All right. We're not going to answer. Thank you. Right. Thanks, William.
All right.
Would you want ICE to deport her?
All right.
Let's move on. Yes or no?
Let's move on.
Answer the question as a man.
He quite literally asked the question of why he's against ICE doing their job over inside of his city. And when he brought up an illegal that ended up knocking a woman unconscious and raping her in an alleyway and asked, wouldn't you want ICE to deport that human being if that was your wife that ended up getting raped? And they avoid the question altogether. They pretend like the incident didn't even happen. They don't even address the incident. Disobey says they threatened to pull that here in the U.S. Stay ready. Keep the gunpowder dry. Rod Rimmick says Trump says U.S. elections are fake. He might not be wrong based on what we just went over inside of California, which, again, absolutely needs looked into. But when you have a mayor that is ignoring rape in one city and is standing up for the non-existent rights of illegals inside of this country, for their right to stay in this country and continue to rape U.S. citizens, when you have a mayor over inside of Dearborn, Michigan, that is allowing all of that crap to take place to the point where they even put up a sign of a guy that sympathizes with Nasrallah, sympathizes with Hamas, sympathizes with Hezbollah, celebrates Hamas as if they're freedom fighters, tells people to take to the fight using airplanes. And then they shut down people that voice concern when they're blasting the call to prayer at the rise of the sun. And the police are taking 2 years to investigate it. Meanwhile, the police force ends up getting jacked up to 40, 50% Arab. And you wonder what's taking them so long to drive by and go, yep, there's a loudspeaker outside of that mosque. Yep, it's blasting the call to prayer five times a day, and they don't do anything about it despite the local laws. They didn't even bother changing the legislation from the best that I know. T-Dog says, good morning, Matt. Targeted arson attack in Portland. Correct. Correct. After the Antifa camp ended up getting tore down. This is what's happening in the United States, and this is what happens when we remain silent. These vigilantes, these anarchists, these terrorists end up taking over because we have mayors, we have governors, we have city councilmen, we have police chiefs, we have all of these people that are ignoring this stuff in the United States of America. I'm saying I'm done with it, and I hope you guys are saying you're done with it too. Now, you guys asked me to bring back daily devotionals, and that's exactly what I'm doing. For those of you that haven't been on this channel before, if you haven't yet, make sure you are liked and subscribed. I'm getting back to closing these out every single day with a daily devotional over at the end of the show. So make sure you're subscribed. And if you're Christian, stick around. If you're not Christian, I don't care. Stick around. You might actually find something that could find you helpful throughout the day. And so many of you guys have asked me to do it. So today's devotional is coming from John, and it's Greater Works Through Faith. And it starts off quoting John chapter 14, 12, verses 12 through 14. It says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Peter and the lame man. Peter stood at the temple gate facing a man crippled from birth, begging for coins. Peter didn't have money, but he had faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk, he declared. The man's legs strengthened and he leapt up, praising God. This miracle showed Jesus' promise believers can do great things through faith as men were called to trust in the power and act boldly, step out in faith. Take a walk today, going a bit farther than usual. Let each step remind you of the lame man's leap. Pray, Lord, help me to trust your power to do great things. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not a joke, in my opinion, if you do put your faith in God and you do specifically, you know, what is asked of you and you're throwing it out there, you can accomplish very, very great things. Now, there's some contradicting verses within the Bible, and I think you actually have to take them into context, such as having faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. That's often quoted in a lot of different churches around the country. Mustard seed isn't very big, but people say, as long as you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And you'll have preachers stand up there and throw that out there. But then at the same time, you have Jesus that's sitting there condemning people for being of little faith. Now, why is that? Why do we have faith the size of a mustard seed can move mountains, and that you have Jesus condemning people for being of little faith? Well, I wouldn't say condemning, but calling them out for being of little faith. In my opinion, you have to look at the mustard seed and what it actually grows into and what it does. For those of you who don't know, mustard seeds grow meters high after they're planted in the ground, and they have a root system that spreads far and wide, and that root system goes over and it takes over and it collects water from everywhere, so much it's engulfing everything. And water is essentially like what you are drinking. It is what you get, okay? Like, water is you reading the Gospels. Water is you reading the Bible. Water is you getting into the Word. And that's where that faith is going to end up coming from. And the greater that root system grows, the more water that's going to come in. But understand that you are living on a corrupt planet, one that has places like Dearborn and Portland and all sorts of other places. And that is the soil in which that seed is planted in. So you are going to get some contaminants leaking in down through there and into your roots over time. But the stronger your root system is, you're going to have to weather storms. You're going to have to do all sorts of stuff. And as long as you have a good, strong root system, you're going to go. So when you hear faith the size of mustard seed, understand that that mustard seed grows into something very, very strong in the future. And the stronger your faith gets, the greater things that you can do in this life. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. Until tonight at 6.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details. Because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local. which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion. It's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.